I'm Jake. Welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore.
I got the feeling, baby, baby, I got the feeling. You don't know what did you do to me.
Sorry, folks, that I get our technical glitches out of the way early for this show. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. Last one of 2006. I'm excited. I'm excited about today's show because, hold on a second. Do we have more technical problems? Oh, we do. Motherfucker. Maybe we're not getting any background music on today's show. Which fucking sucks. I really like playing background music. Okay, let's pretend like that didn't happen. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastard Show. Technical problems. Ha! I laugh at them. Today is the last show I'm doing in 2006, so as I often do, well, if you call once a year often, we're having the best songs of 2006. So I'm very happy. I'm very pleased with how this is going. I literally went through every song that I put on my computer, every song that I played on the show, every song I thought about playing on the show that I found in 2006. Most of them are 2006 brand new songs. Some of them are actually older songs that I didn't discover until just now. But really, what does anybody care? We just want to hear good music. So that's what we got going here. Of course, that last song, James Brown, because he passed away on Christmas Day. So it might have been more appropriate for me to play Santa's Got a Brand New Bag, his Christmassy version of Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, but no. And today, again, since I'm trying to focus on Best O the Year, I'm really not going to get too much into the James Brown maybe next week. And my computer is messing up again, is it? God damn it. Anyhow, so maybe today's a background musicless show, which, again, I find very unfortunate because I enjoy the background music when I'm speaking. But here, on this next song up, well, let me give you a little overview of the stuff that I tend to like, the stuff that I've found and enjoy. I do enjoy sort of noisy, glitchy rock music. I enjoy sort of the backpacker style of hip-hop, political music of all styles, a little bit of hardcore, screamy sort of music, covers, interesting cover songs I enjoy. I've got some of those. Also, a fondness for sort of a pretty, slow singer-songwriter sort of stuff. And what else have I got here? An assorted other weirdness. So, to kick this off after our James Brown, this next band's going to be the Vandells, who I don't think they're signed to any label. They're sort of like noisy experimental music crossed with surf rock, and I'm very... I spoke with the over the internet. I emailed one of the fellows in the band, and they said that they had an EP that they'd self-released, and I said I'd like to buy that EP, and that was the last I heard of them. So not sure if you all are going to get to hear more stuff from them. This is the Vandells doing Lovely Weather. Hope you'll enjoy it. Let me read off some of the other names for the artist for today. Anthony Hamilton, Han Huckleberg, Busta Rhymes, Camera Obscura, Cat Power, Clips, The Coach Whips, Combat Wounded Veteran, Jens Lankman, Jello Biafra and the Melvins, Locomy, Pissed Jeans, Pete Philly and Perquisite, Parts and Labor, Mastakilla, Royal Treatment Plant, lots of stuff. I actually have much more music than I have time to play on the show, and of course I'll also be talking a little bit about the news and political events, the big ones of the year. And I'm really upset that I can't play this background music, our Macintosh computer here, which is the repository of most of the music that we play for most of the DJs, is spinning its wheels and not working. Although you did get to hear a good 48 seconds worth of the Dirty Three while I was introing all this. Anyhow, I'm Jake. If you're listening live and you want to send an instant message on your AOL or Yahoo instant messenger, write to Radioactive SD. And you can tell me that you can request something. I don't know if I'll have it, but if it was a song from 2006, you can give me a shot. And of course, I'm going to put in a little caveat. I think one of allegedly the most popular bands of the year, the ones on all the top 10 lists, was TV on the Radio. Yes, I have one of their songs and we'll be playing it, so don't write in and say, please play TV on the Radio, because I got you covered. But yeah, and then most of you folks, you'll be catching this on the podcast thing, the file I upload to the website. And, yeah, if you guys want to contact me, write to jake@lyingmediabastards.com. Here's the Vandells.
If you think you can, come on, let's dance. We'll be right back.
untouchable. Getting mad blunted, getting mad blunted.
My rhymes is the puss. Okay. Be out and about, y'all see me do what it do. Gully broad, so sick of love songs too. Ain't nothing but the goodies when I'm opening my mouth. And since I took a break, then game and took it to the south. Super bitch, you bring it back, don't need no spinach. 10 years and got it in without so much as a blemish. I ain't finished, your whole hood beat, yeah. And you're too weak. We got that shit to turn a full street to Wolf Creek. Get possessed with that Emily spirit. Had these bitches fucked up, losing more than they hearing. It get even worse, yeah. If any Manchester, you gon' come face to face with Winchesters, Bushmasters, Kempers, shit you ain't into. Can't get them in the hood unless you tell them I'm special.
Untouchable.
Shade 45.
Icy like winter weather. Nigga, I move that work, do that dirt for that cheddar. Got niggas on my kidding, that hustle for that kidding. $100,000 car, let me step up on that sedan. Ladies, they love me all across the world. I'm gangster, so I keep a gangster girl. Don't fuck around with the young and I'ma play that shit. I run up on you with your whip and straight spray that shit. You got it confused, damaging bruised dudes. We shoot out in brawls, get around like Machiavelli, Chicago. Keeps it rugged and raw, on the block with the raw. We go to war with the law, we stay banging the four. Rat, and them niggas stretch out on they back. It's a G thing, code of the street thing. We do this for real. Fuck niggas, I don't care how they feel. Split feet, my ghetto pass sign is sealed. Who nigga, I'm
untouchable.
Now, you niggas can't do me nothing. You figure they stupid, bugging, get clapping and poop for frontin'. Slapped on the stoop or something. Back on my roofless gunning and strap while your crew be running. From every bullet popping up out of the Luger. Bussin' and shout if the music bumping. Bounce with the movement, cuz quick. Hop with the whack in with the news. See how the dude be strutting. A hot step. See how we do. See how my crew be rushing. Break dudes back in their head and heel of their boots. Block like we in the building and stack like a couple million. Act like you know the feeling, so crack just to feed my children. Black, I ain't with concealing the truth. While you busy stealing the proof that I have the all for the booth for the mass appealing. Facts that I documented with tracks that are monumental. With class that I own a godly level like an army destined to kill it. It's my profession and chill as a small suggestion. For real, I can never stop, so you probably would need to.
You can compliment me on the style of my hair. Give me marks out of 10 for the clothes that I wear. You probably thought I had more upstairs. I disappoint. Perfect. star to guide me anyway. You only wanted me to play a fool.
We didn't know what to do. Wanted to go to college, but no money was nothing new. Wanted to get away, go see the world and do something new. He got approached in the mall by the army recruit. Told him if you want to go to school, we got money too. Son up at 18, you'll be out when you're 22. He joined the army airborne, got his uniform with the boot camp. Got some discipline, I rock him when they shipping him. He's in the midst of war, bullets flying and missing him. Wishing he was a kid again with his family in Michigan. In the midst of fighting militia men, one round, took down six of them. He ain't really a killer though, taking a lot of risk. This is what a poor person do for a scholarship thing. He turned around and got a face full of hollow tips. But don't be mad, he died for the flag.
But what you done here is put yourself between a bullet and a target. And it won't be long before you're pulling yourself away. Between a bullet and a target, and it won't be long before you're pulling yourself away.
Papa was a player, just what to say to get the women back to his layer, and layer. If sex had a trophy, he's the Heisman touchdown. Hitting models, R&B chicks, and buzz downs. He got the women with crazy stares with his lady there. They ain't care, they like, ooh, look at his baby hair. He took them all, put them in a line. Hit five new chickens that thought they was fine. Got hit from five dope fiends smoking the dime. And did it all raw, dog. It ain't dog, I ain't lying. Woke up one season with legions. He went to the doctor, red positive. He couldn't believe him. He trying to blame God, asking why did he leave him. Pleading, please let the disease leave him. From women that he conquered, he called
me. What you done here is put yourself between a bullet and a target, and it won't be long before.
Okay, okay. Now when the sun goes down on our side of town, on the other side of the block when cops ain't around, on the same side of the street that Pac hit the ground. Not in Vegas, cause every nigga got Pac in them now. When my guys hit the block and we pool when we thugs, I ain't on no swim team, but you see pools of blood. Skip Judy when you die, she ain't who's to judge. Oh, you married to the game? Prove your love, prove it. Hit the strap, shorty, shoot it, do it, just do it. This ain't a game, this an organized movement. My hurt, my love, my pain, my stress, my strife, my wife, my life, my test. We made for more, we die for less. When you starving in the ghetto, I'ma write the rest. See, my girl think I'm hard, and my mama think I'm hard, but when I'm all up in the dark, I just fall on my knees.
What you got here is put yourself between a bullet and a target.
My tape pop. to be honest or decent. I got to get it, read it, said it's not wise for us to be honest, decent.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Lying Media Bastard Show. I am Jake. That is there was Royal Treatment Plant, one of my I don't know what to call it exactly, one of my little thrill moments of the of the year. They are a band from the UK. They're pretty cool. I mean, they sound sort of like a much catchier, groovier version of the Epoxies here in the U.S., is what I was thinking, listening just now. But after I found their song, and I don't want to pretend that I discover anybody. I'm not like some cool A&R guy who's, you know, hitting all the tiny clubs looking for the next big hit. When I say discover, I literally mean this was a band or song I had not heard before. This was new to me, therefore I discovered it for myself. Now that I think about it, that might be the wrong usage of that word. Anyhow, I play the song on my show a few months back, and then I get an email from the band saying that I was the first radio show in the U.S. to play their song. Royal Treatment Plant, the song's called Trained, I believe. Catchy, fun. Before that, we had Girl Talk, Smash Your Head. Weird mashup sort of group. All they do is make songs out of other songs, near as I can figure. Mostly out of hip-hop like that. That was a ton of great hip-hop, and I think a little bit of rock. I think there was some Elton John in there somewhere. For that, Rhyme Fest with Citizen Cope doing Bullet. Camera Obscura doing Books for Girls. We started that off with... Busta Rhymes with Rod Digga and Splistar doing Untouchable. Which I think makes two songs in this past set that had samples from Biggie Smalls, I realize. But that song, I believe, was produced by Clinton Sparks, and I thought that was pretty great stuff. I gotta find more stuff produced by him. And then we started off with the Vandals doing Lovely Weather. I was mentioning earlier, I was bitching earlier about the fact that I can't play instrumental music in the background as I'm speaking because of technical problems we're having here. So I think I will do an experiment, and when I edit this show after the fact, I think I'm going to try to edit in some background music. I will try. I don't know if it'll work or not, and I suppose it could end up sounding crappy, but just to make things sound cool, if I do successfully put in any background music, I will start it right now. Okay, now if you're listening to the recording, that would have sounded fucking dope as I said this and like magically snap my fingers and the music kicks in. But if I can't do it, then there'll just be more silence and me talking. But I must speak of newsy things. I actually went back through my website looking for what were the biggest stories I wrote about during the course of the year. Let me just start with... Well, before I go there, let me just mention Gerald Ford, former president, dead. I don't care. The only reason it matters is a little interesting bit that during the Ford administration, both Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney were part of the Ford administration, were advisors. I believe Cheney was the chief of staff. I forget what Rumsfeld was, but Kissinger was his head guy, and both of those fellows tried to undermine Kissinger to put their whack-ass neocon policies into effect, even back in the day. Apparently, Ford gave an interview a couple years back that's just now getting published for some reason, saying how he was against the Iraq War and thought it was a bad idea. Just throwing that out there. And then while I'm on the little throwaway bits, I thought about playing some comedy segments, playing the audio version of some great videos that I saw this year, some political comedy. But I realized that that would take a lot of time up, and I already have so much stuff I'm trying to do in today's show. But I just tell you about them, say you should look them up on YouTube or Google Video or whatever. First, there was a clip back, I think, in April or May, where Al Gore was the guest host on Saturday Night Live, and he did the opening skit from their Oval Office set. and he was sitting there at the president's desk pretending that he had won the 2000 election and was talking, and the 2004 election was talking about giving you a state of the nation sort of thing since then, which I thought was very funny. And you have to see the Stephen Colbert bit, when he gave his presentation to the White House Correspondents Dinner. I just went to YouTube and typed in, Colbert, which is spelled Colbert, by the way. Looked up Colbert and dinner. Those two words on Google Video or something, and it pops up. They might try to give you the whole entire dinner, which is like an hour and a half. There was I saw in there a 24-minute segment. And really, you don't need to watch, well, once Helen Thomas asks her question in a little skit, that they have a little video clip there after he's done his comedy stand-up bit, you don't need to watch anymore. But that was the bit where he gets up in front. He's like 10 feet from the president, and he's in front of all of the major journalists in the United States, and he's sitting there ruthlessly mocking them, parodying them, rubbing their face in it. And rubbing their face in it to their faces. It's very easy to, like he normally does, do his television show and, be behind a desk in front of, with an audience of his fans. But when you're right in front of them there, in front of the guys that you're making fun of, justifiably, president killed a few hundred thousand people. The press has been just saying whatever the president tells them to say. It's been a bad year. And he took them to task, and I was very pleased with that. And the last video clip I'll come back to, because I need to speak of it a little bit. So the big stories of the year, ones that either got covered or didn't. First, I want to mention the Green Scare, which is a name that activists have been giving it. Basically, it's been this insane government crackdown on environmental activists that's been going on for a year or two now. Green Scare came to San Diego the first year I was here and part of the station. One of our DJs actually was forced to, they attempted to force him to give a testimony in front of a grand jury on this weird attempt. They were trying to find somebody who'd burned down a housing project, allegedly some environmental radical. And they just grabbed some local environmental activists and tried to like get them to snitch on other activists, and it's worked in some cases. In other parts of the country, they've gotten them on some sort of charges and then gotten them to flip and start claiming that other activists did stuff that the FBI wants to get them for. And it's there's a website, I think it's greenisthenewred.org, greenscare.org, but all the people who've been indicted on ridiculous charges. And huge sentences for stuff that, that they like calling these the environmental radicals eco-terrorists, which is, of course, bullshit. Even the ones who've engaged in the more aggressive stuff, it tends to be, they vandalize something. Or, some of it even is to the point of eco-arson. There have been cases of environmental radicals, burning down a some sort of housing development or sabotaging a logging effort. But always with no people hurt, which is what terrorism is. Terrorism is hurting people. They're not hurting people. The Congress also, in the past few months, passed the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, which basically says now that even if you engage in acts of civil disobedience against some sort of, a company that makes its money off of messing up with the earth and the environment, or that is involved with testing on animals or animals for food or something like that, you can be charged with terrorism now. Before that, probably about 10 years ago, they passed the Animal Enterprise Protection Act, which greatly criminalized and put these huge criminal sentences on people involved in civil disobedience in their pursuit of animal rights. Now you've gone from a criminal to a terrorist if you're involved, and that's just ridiculous. You want more information, again, greenscare.org, green is the new red, which, again, and all of this is pointing to is reminiscent of the Red Scare of the 1950s, where the government went on this crusade against communists and everybody was afraid of speaking out, and they were finding people who were, liberals or socialists or whatever, or even people who were communists but weren't doing anything bad, weren't doing anything wrong, and they were criminalizing them and harassing them, That continues to this day. Huzzah. Let's see here. Now, the comedy goldmine, political comedy goldmine of the year, the the dead horse that you could not beat enough, the undead horse of political comedy this year, Dick Cheney. If you recall, in the earlier part of the year, Dick Cheney was hunting with some friends and colleagues down in Texas, where he shot an old man in the face with a shotgun, which is... And, you know, obviously if he'd killed the man, this would be a tragic story, but no, the man was not really harmed. It was some sort of buckshot that wasn't that damaging. So we can, without any sort of guilt for giggling about the death of an old man, we can say, oh, Dick Cheney shot a man in the face. Which is, of course, we know that's his thing, shooting men in the face. And it wasn't even really hunting that they were at. They got their guns, and it was this crazy sort of... oh, man, it's like these special farms for rich, rotund fellows like Cheney, I guess. And they're not wild animals they're out stalking. It's a farm where they raise these things on the farm like you would raise chickens or something, and keep them in cages or pens, and then just as the rich people arrive, they let them go. They let go a flock of quail or whatever, you know, farm-raised quail, probably ones that have had their wings clipped or something, so they could get the joy of blowing the hell out of living creatures without any of the effort involved in hunting. You know, it's... I suppose the next step is they set up a McDonald's sort of thing where you just drive up and they just tie a quail to the drive-thru window and you can shoot it with a gun and then get your jollies that way. But you really can't say it enough to get the humor effect. Dick Cheney shot an old man in the face. And again, that's the third video clip I wanted to recommend that you look up online and watch The Daily Show. When their coverage of the Dick Cheney shooting the man in the face incident, fucking hilarious. I can't say enough about it. And then if you're gonna have one more comedy video to watch, I'll put up some links on my site to all these comedy clips. Another Daily Show clip where they had Asif Manvi, who they decided was their Middle Eastern correspondent. He did a segment where. He, in a very tongue-in-cheek, deadpan way, was acting as though the people of Iraq, the people of the Middle East, they are not mad at the U.S. at all for the invasions and bombings and all that. That they see it as an opportunity to turn to democracy, as the U.S. has claimed. And it's just so sarcastic and bitter, and you should watch it. Let's see here. What other stories must I discuss? Oh, I want to mention the Iraq Civil War for a moment. It's been a struggle in the media whether or not to call this a civil war. It's fucking ridiculous. It's a terrible thing that's happening. Does it really need to have a name? Shia and Sunni are killing each other. Call it a civil war, call it a skirmish, call it ethnic cleansing, call it, you know, pack of bubble gum, call it whatever you like. As long as you're going to deal with it and try to, you know, make things better for people. Linguistic foolishness, arguing over whether or not it's called the Civil War, reminds me of several years back in the occupied territories. Israel shot up a place, I can't even remember the name of it now, it's very sad. A refugee camp where they attacked and many people were killed. And it was this battle of language again. Is it a massacre? Is it not a massacre? And let me look online real quick. Israel massacre. Let's see if I can figure out which town that was. You know, if you look up Israel and massacre, a lot of stuff comes up. God. Well, the name is not important. As I was just saying a minute ago, bad things happening. To continue with the theme of Israel, that was another big event of the year. Well, two, with Israel and Palestine. First, the Palestinians voted in Hamas into their parliament, which is simultaneously a social service organization and an armed militia, which fights against the Israeli occupation. Honestly, I need to look up on, you know, they're often called terrorists, and I believe that actually does fit. They're resistance fighters, terrorists, social organization. And it doesn't, and it's not any wonder that the Palestinians voted for Hamas, because apparently the previous ruling party, Fatah, which was Yasser Arafat's organization, they were corrupt as hell. They were not helping the people out. They were collecting this money in taxes. They weren't getting the Israelis off the backs of the Palestinian people. They weren't providing services. And Hamas was. So it's sort of like, you know, in your mind, you know, imagine if the Salvation Army had a military wing. And your state, you know, you live in California, wherever. California, let's say, the previous government is the mafia. California being run by the mafia. And then there's this violent group, the Salvation Army, who also provide food and clothing and help out with housing and all that. Who are you going to vote for? So with no real controversy there, the people of Palestine vote in Hamas. Since Hamas does have such an anti-Israel stance, the Israelis refuse to give lots of money that they owe Palestine. There's this huge international boycott, embargo of Palestine, and people there are starving. Things have been terrible over there, so bad that actually the two factions, Fatah and Hamas, have been fighting with each other, you know, violently, not fighting like yelling at the parliament, but like, you know, actual battles and killing. Last I heard, there was a ceasefire, and there were going to be some discussions about power sharing or something, or possibly even in early elections, that would be a good thing, something to help those folks out. And then the other big news with Israel, of course, was the war with Lebanon, which started off when Hezbollah, the anti-Israel militia, again, very similar to Hamas in that they provide services, they're one of the big powers there. And it astounds me that this seems to happen all over the Middle East, where there's a violent group that also provides services of some kind. They help people. You know, you got the madrasas in Pakistan, where they have schools, and they feed people. Hezbollah feeds people and provides money, reconstruction money and such. You know, Hamas providing services. Why does the U.S. just go in and blow shit up? Why doesn't the U.S. go in and provide services? They want to change the minds of the people in the Middle East. You know, that seems to work. Helping people makes them like you. And, anyways, it was a horrible war. Israel lost that war, technically. They were not able to recover their kidnapped soldiers. They were not able to destroy Hezbollah. They just pulled out. And it had a big impact on the Israeli people's psyche, I'm told, that they no longer feel that they're so invincible. They're very angry about the government for either starting the war at all or for not going far enough. I think many Israelis wanted to win, wanted to destroy Hezbollah, and are mad that the government stopped. Again, Hezbollah come out seeming like winners. They're this ragtag militia that beat one of the most huge military powers of the Middle East, Israel. And I actually did hear recently that there are now talks that the current Israeli prime minister is talking about releasing prisoners, which is what both sides wanted all along. Right before the Lebanon war, some Hamas members kidnapped an Israeli soldier, and then shortly after that, Lebanon kidnapped a couple Israeli soldiers, and that what they wanted in return was the release of some of their people, who the Israelis were holding in prison. And now, you know, thousands of deaths and billions of dollars in property damage later, Israel seems to be welcoming that. So, bizarre, crazy, ugly. Let's see here. Now I'll read this and then I'll hop into some more music. There's an organization, or a company, called Strat4. They're basically the same sort of evil geniuses that you would have in a government, in your State Department and CIA and whatnot. But they are a private company that will sell their information, sell their analyses to big business, either, you know, big and small, or, you know, individuals, where they talk about what's going on in the world, what they think is going to happen, so that you and your business can plan for the future. I'm on their mailing list, but I don't get much out of them because I don't pay them anything. But I got this thing free. This is their year in review, where they list off, it looks like, about 20-30 events that they see as the top ones of the year. I'm just going to read these off to remind you all and maybe get you thinking if you want to think about it. In January, the three big events are: Russia cuts off natural gas supplies to Ukraine and thus to Europe for 3 days, demonstrating its willingness to use energy supplies for political leverage. Hamas wins Palestinian elections, leading to economic isolation and paralysis due to its hardline stance on the recognition of Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon departs from the political scene following a stroke, leaving Ehud Olmert to shepherd the fledgling Kadima Party and government. In February, controversy over European newspaper cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad sparks riots throughout the Middle East. And the Golden Mosque in As-Samarah is bombed, deepening the sectarian divides in Iraq. Nothing in March happened, apparently. April, proposed immigration reforms spark massive demonstrations in the United States. Chinese President Hu Jintao is publicly embarrassed during a White House visit. I don't know if that's a big enough event to be on this list. June, Abu Musab al-Zarqawi is killed in Iraq, briefly raising hopes that a political deal between Sunnis and Shia would pave the way for a drawdown of U.S. troops. And the Supreme Islamic Court's council seizes political control of Mogadishu and portions of Somalia to form a warlord alliance, leading to fears that the country will become a haven for jihadists. I believe that those battles have heated up just this week. In July, Mexico's Felipe Calderón narrowly defeats leftist presidential candidate Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who launches protests and forms a shadow government. I'm still not convinced that Calderón won. It sounds like there was plenty of shadiness going on in that election. Chechen rebel leader Shamil Basayev, responsible for many attacks on Russian soil, is killed in an explosion. Kashmiri militants carry out coordinated bombings of trains in Mumbai, killing more than 200 people. And an ailing Fidel Castro cedes power to his brother Raul, raising questions about the future of the communist regime. In July-August, Hezbollah successfully resists Israeli forces in a 34-day war, an outcome with far-reaching psychological effects for the region. See what I tell you? Psyche of Israel. In August, an Al-Qaeda planes plot is disrupted in Britain, triggering a heightened terrorism alert in the United States. That's why you're not allowed to bring toothpaste on a plane these days. And as I mentioned, I believe, a week or two ago, there is not enough evidence. The guy who's the alleged mastermind of that liquid explosives plot, there's not enough evidence to hold him for terrorism charges, which makes me wonder how real any of that was. September, Americans observe the 5-year anniversary of 9/11 and the opening of the U.S. jihadist war. Thai Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawatra is ousted by a coup. Widening corruption scandal begins to unfold in Shanghai, pointing towards tensions between factions within the Chinese leadership. In October, North Korea tests a nuclear device. In November, Republican control of the U.S. Congress is overturned in midterm elections. U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld resigns, and new options for an Iraq strategy are examined. They're not really examined. Saddam Hussein is sentenced to death, and just recently this week, if you'll recall, his appeal was denied. A former Russian spy dies of radiation poisoning in London after accusing the Kremlin of his murder, and British-Russian relations grow strained. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is reelected to another 6-year term. The bipartisan Iraq study group unveils recommendations for the White House. As it turned out, that is not important at all, because the White House seems to want to ignore that. China marks the 5-year anniversary of its WTO accession, at which point restrictions on foreign competition and financial services are to be lifted in full. That's really obscure. The European Chemicals Directive, which reaches more pre-market testing of chemicals used in commerce, is passed, with implications for the chemicals industry globally. Again, rather obscure, but if you're a business who's paying all this money to Stratfor, that might seem relevant. That's enough yammering for now. I got so much music to play and so much stuff to talk about. I gotta go for it. If you want to see that list, I believe it's probably on their website, stratfor.com, stratfor.com. Again, they're evil. I gotta get a little more music here. This song I played a number of times. Hopefully you like it. It's Jello Biafra and the Melvins. They put out an album recently. Obviously, Jello Biafra, former singer of the Dead Kennedys, Melvins, longtime, noisy, punkish sort of outfit. When the Dead Kennedys were together, they recorded several versions of California Uber Alles, each time updating it for the new governor. Now we've got California Uber Alles, the 21st century edition about Arnold Schwarzenegger. And let's kick that off, because that's some good stuff. Coming next.
Controls. 1, 2, 3, 4. the last tram. I kill the party again. Goddamn, goddamn. I wanna sleep in my bed. I wanna clean up my head. I wanna look this dead. I wanna feel this dread. Kill the party again. I ruined it for my friends. Oh, you're so silent, gents. Oh, maybe I am, maybe I am. Now at the central station, no time for being patient. I feel like going home, but at the same time I don't. Black hats and the way they drive. But if you take a ride with them, you may not come back alive. They might be psycho killers, but tonight I really don't care. So I said, turn up the music, take me home or take me anywhere. Black hats.
Oh,
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Lying Media Bastards radio show. That just there was Cat Power doing the greatest. For that we had I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Looking at it English-wise, looks like it should be Jens Lenkman, but I think it's Jan Lenkman doing Black Cab, the Coach Whips doing Hands-On, Devachka doing Devachka. Not a 2006 song. That's an older one, but I didn't hear about the band until this past year. I talked about them on the last show, saw their concert live down in Solana Beach. Very good show. And we started off with Jello Biafra and the Melvins, sometimes called the Jelvins, doing their California Uberalis. Let's see, I'm crossing off the stuff that I've already spoken about on the show. That there, and these. Another little fun news segment, news bit. This year, I was contacted by a fellow with an organization called the Society of Bastards, which appears to be some sort of activist group that is trying to change laws regarding wills. Sort of the wills being the, when somebody dies and they leave you their money sort of thing. Trying to change laws regarding wills and bastards, children who are born out of wedlock or illegitimate children or whatever the term is. This fellow was very angry at me for my site Lying Media Bastards and said that it was a very offensive term that I was using, and if I did not stop using it, they were going to boycott me. And while I'm somewhat sympathetic to the idea, I think it's by now the word bastard does not really mean bastard anymore. I first learned that the word meant boy without a father was what my dad told me the word meant, and it was weird because it was sort of a swear word and sort of not. I remember I was reading it in a book and I said to my dad, hey, what's a bastard? And I had a cousin who was visiting and he just started laughing his ass off, figuring I was about to get in trouble because I had said a naughty word. My dad just told me it was a boy without a father, and I was confused. So it was a swear word, but it's not. So, which, at least in my mind, so it has more, I don't know, there's something in, I enjoy about it. But bastard means jerk. Now, the same way that if you call somebody a dick, you're not actually calling them a penis. You mean they're a jerk. So, Society of Bastards, I'm sorry, but I have not acceded to your demands. And, but good luck with the advocacy. Let's see here. I don't want to talk about that. Let me talk. One of the stories of the year, I think, was the Al Gore movie, An Inconvenient Truth, a documentary about global warming that was primarily made up of Al Gore's PowerPoint presentation and lecture that he gives at schools and whatever, coupled with footage of him looking upset in airplanes and doing little soft-spoken voiceovers about his life. Not as boring as one would think. Actually, somewhat entertaining. Other people said it was you know, intriguing and fascinating. No, it wasn't. But better than you'd expect. More informative, very informative. Scary. But it actually, apparently, this movie and the publicity surrounding it seems like it may have started turning the tide. People in this country are actually starting to believe en masse. Yes, there is global warming. Yes, we need to stop it. There's more focus now on hybrid cars, and different energy companies are actually, you know, oil companies are trying to reinvent themselves as energy companies, where oil is only one of the things in their portfolio. I mean, it makes business sense. You know, oil's not going to be there forever. You may as well try to get into other businesses, solar power and hydrogen power cells and whatnot. But I don't think they're going to stop with the oil until they've sucked every last drop out of the ground and sold it to somebody. So I'm not going to be singing their praises too much. But still, the movie was a good thing, and I think it actually made some impact. The Bush Imperial President Theory. As we've seen during the course of the year, George W. Bush really seems to feel that, and his administration supports this idea, that the president has a constitutional duty to defend America. And that means that anything that he does, if he can couch it in terms of he was doing it to defend America, he can violate every other law and constitutional restriction on the presidency that exists. It's this bizarre idea that his top constitutional priority is protecting America, and therefore he can't be bothered with things like the law or the First Amendment, or the Fifth Amendment, or the Fourth Amendment, and you know, name an amendment. He thinks he doesn't have to obey it. It would be nice if when the Democrats took power in January, if they pushed the constitutional crisis. Because as it stands, there is a constitutional crisis. The president thinks he doesn't have to obey the Constitution. It would be nice if Congress tried to do something to say that, yeah, he does. And, you know, save us a little bit. I'm not anticipating that. Democrats are generally not your friends, as I've mentioned on the show. I think around the time the Democrats won in November, that the last Democratic presidency brought us the end of welfare as we know it, NAFTA, which cost around 1 million American jobs and then helped destroy parts of Mexico. They gave us the sanctions in Iraq, which they estimate killed at least 200,000 children who were then malnourished or unable to get medication they needed, gave us the attempt to prevent South Africa from creating generic AIDS drugs for the epidemic of HIV that's over there. I could go on. The Democrats, they're better than the insane fundamentalist warmongering Republicans that we've had for the past few years, but they're not good. If we want them to do good, we have to pressure them, force them, beat them. Well, not beat them, but you know, they must be Democrats. You can always count on Democrats to do the right thing as soon as they've exhausted every other option. Another big issue of the year: immigration. I don't know who it was. Oh, okay, I do know who it was. Largely, this was the part of Tancredo. I think Tim Tancredo, congressman from the Midwest somewhere, he decided that he was going to run on a xenophobia, get the Mexicans message, that was going to resonate with America, and that would get him into office, and things would be happy for him. It did manage to get, I forget exactly, the U.S. government has agreed to pay like $3 billion or $7 billion to build a fence, to build a big fence along the thousands of miles of U.S.-Mexico border, because that's going to keep poor, desperate people out of the United States to look for work. Yeah, bad plan. I don't know, it's just insane because, you know, it's one thing to legitimately say there's an issue with immigration and American jobs and the economy and all that, but what that's not what we've got. We don't have a debate about the effects of immigration and jobs. What we have is the thinly veiled hate and fear that Latinos coming from Mexico and other parts of Central and South America are coming in huge numbers to the United States, and Americans are afraid they're going to become a minority, they're afraid the culture is going to change, and they're afraid that they're going to lose their jobs. It's a combination of all that. You know, obviously a healthy amount of racism in there. Because, yeah, nobody's talking about, oh, what about the immigrants from Italy? Nobody's saying the immigrants from Zimbabwe or you know, the Ukraine or North Korea. You know, no, everyone understands that when we're discussing the immigration issue, it means Mexicans and other Latinos. Well, actually, I think to most Americans, it means Mexicans. And to them, Mexican means anybody who's south of the border and speaks Spanish. I don't think most Americans differentiate. But, and again, nobody that's on this issue actually says, hey, what about the Mexican economy? What about the economies in Latin America that are so bad that people feel the need to come up here for jobs? Maybe we ought to think about doing something regarding that, because if the people didn't want to come across the border, they wouldn't. No, we say, let's build a fence. Let's have these roundups of brown-skinned people and, you know, across the country. And the people who look like they might be Mexican and deport them, that's going to solve the problem. And of course, the whole thing is divide and conquer. Americans and Mexicans and people from all over the world are competing for the same jobs because of the evil bastard corporations who are trying to make a buck by sending labor to the most desperate, poorest parts of the globe, you know, which I think in the end will end up being prison labor in China. I mean, I think that's where things are headed. You know, it's one thing to go to a place where it's the people are poor and the labor protection laws are lax or not enforced or non-existent. It's another thing to have one where you don't really have to pay the people who are making your clothing, and there's, you know, under an authoritarian regime, your prison guard tells you what to do. You know, you're not forming a union when you're in prison. So I think that's where we're headed. But no, people would rather yell at Mexicans on the street. And of course we have the anti-immigration movement around here, very strong here in Southern California, sadly. The Minutemen and so on. The Minutemen who originally went down to the border with guns and then kind of tried to claim, no, we're not going to shoot them. We're just going to call the Border Patrol. Call the Border Patrol when we see somebody crossing the border. Which, of course, was a failure, if you actually looked into that story. They did not do much of anything like that. Later on, I believe they did build some fence on their own, which was quickly dismantled. Not a very good fence that they built, apparently. But, I mean, I've been to some of these protests for the Minutemen Trump, and it's so embarrassing. They're so filled with hate, and it's so transparently not what they're trying to pretend, that, you know, we're Americans trying to protect the borders and terrorism and jobs, and it's so just anti-Mexico, anti-Mexicans, and it's very sad. There's also some videos up if you look at some of the San Diego websites regarding immigration and the Minutemen. I've seen videos of the Minutemen just harassing what they call day laborers, who are just mostly Latino people who are here legally or illegally on the streets looking for work. You know, they want to do some, you know, agricultural or landscaping or carpentry or something, and people know where to find them, so they'll go and pick a few up. But they're harassing the people there who are trying to make money to feed their families. I mean, that's about as low as you can get, really. And one of the worst video clips I saw was there was a Minuteman who was telling some guy, and some guy had come up in a truck. He wanted to hire one of these workers, and the guy says, oh, all these people here are illegal. It's against the law to hire these people. And one of the day laborers pulls out his paperwork, you know, his green card, or I don't know so much about the legalities involved of the paperwork and the bureaucracy. But he had paperwork right there saying that he had a legal right to work in the country, and he's showing it to the guy in the truck. And after just saying a minute ago these people were illegal, you know, he's had the Minuteman has had his argument foiled by, hey, here's the guy with this paperwork. He just makes shit up and he says, oh, well, most of that paperwork's fake. So what the fuck are you talking about? You know, he didn't know, obviously, what was going on. He's just trying to stop this guy from getting work, which was terrible. And we'll see more of it. Thanks a lot, fellas. I'm really running out of time here. Immigration, obviously, a big deal, and I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with it or where it's headed. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to... I'm so short on time. I'm very sad. I want to talk about Oaxaca. I talked about it a number of times on the show, wrote about it on my website. A state in southern Mexico where the people were protesting and trying to drive out a corrupt governor who probably wasn't even elected. There's a lot of skepticism that the election was non-fraudulent. And there was this horrible crackdown. After the people had been protesting and blockading the city and trying to, and according to Mexican law, if a state is considered ungovernable, the federal government can dismiss the state leader, the governor, who in this case, Ulises Ruiz, the governor of Oaxaca. So that's what the people were trying to do. They were trying to put up blockades and just make the country ungovernable, make it so the government couldn't do what they were supposed to do, while at the same time doing their best to keep up the lifestyles of the people who live there. Oh, there's some wiener dogs outside barking. And then hope they leave that postman alone. So there was this ruthless crackdown. The outgoing president, Vicente Fox, sent federal police forces down to Oaxaca. Even before this, there was a backlash by the authorities and authoritarians in Oaxaca, which brings us to the story of Brad Will, the New York City anarchist and independent journalist with New York Indie Media, who was down in Oaxaca to send back reports about the protests and the attacks. I believe 12 people had been just outright murdered by off-duty police officers and city councilmen, if you can believe it, with guns, shooting people at the barricades. And Brad Will, while videotaping one of these attacks, was shot and killed himself. The footage of his that he filmed of his own death is online. It's horrible. And it was a real wake-up call. A lot of activists suddenly were suddenly more aware of Oaxaca, what was going on, because this comrade of theirs had been murdered. And a lot of folks took notice. There was a lot of protests here in San Diego outside the Mexican consulate and across the country. I don't know what's going on there now, Oaxaca. The federal police forces that went down there really smashed things up, and a lot of people were running. And then the right-wingers and the allies of Ulises Ruiz, they've been, disappearing people. They've been going to the leaders of some of these activist groups, and they just vanish. Go to their house, break in, look around for people who were involved. There's been talks of disappearances and attacks and tortures and rapes, and it's awful. But now and again, I keep reading these positive stories, and the people are still resisting, they're still fighting, they're still organizing, or that they're making plans to organize again once the streets are safer and the federal police forces leave. So, yeah. Looks like I got one more story on my list. Two more. Darfur. The western part of Sudan. There's a genocide going on. Nothing has changed as far as I know, except to get worse. More people dead, more people tortured, more people raped. I have seen recently a television campaign which advertises the website SaveDarfur.org. I'd recommend checking it out, seeing if there's anything you can do to help. I think right now it's just like petitions to the UN and to national governments to take some action, which... I don't see what else could save these people. I think if we were going to invade somebody to save the people, Darfur would be the place. Because the government is letting these people get murdered, and they keep saying no, we won't let in foreign troops. Well, and don't like troops, don't like national governments, don't like national armies. And we see what a bang up job the U.S. Army has done in Afghanistan and Iraq. So it's not necessarily the best plan to send in U.S. troops into Darfur, or even if we had them to send, I don't know. It's a difficult problem, and I don't have a good solution for it. And then, in recent news, I just want to mention this, Take Back the Land. There's a website, takebacktheland.blogspot.com, where that was one of the highlights, one of the positive stories of the year, is it was a city and a part of neighborhood in Miami, Florida, where the government was so corrupt and the housing authority was corrupt and embezzling, and these people had no place to live, many of them, no place affordable. So people found this vacant lot in one of the neighborhoods there, and they built, they call it a shanty town. They built a sort of series of shacks for people to live in. And it's been going well. I think about 35 families have a place to live now. And they named it. It's a Umoja Village. Umoja is apparently Swahili for unity. But just today I read on their website, takebacktheland.blogspot.com, the Miami City Council has passed some new laws and regulations that would make it legal for them, because the shantytown is legal, apparently. Due to a previous court ruling, the city had no right to take these people off the land. But now they're altering existing regulations, which would make the shantytown illegal so that they could raid it. It's just ridiculous. I mean, the organizers of this thing keep saying this is not about making a statement. This is not a publicity stunt. We're housing people because the city won't do it. And the city is now trying to shift that message, saying, oh, they're just trying to make a point. And you know, we got their message. Fine. They should just leave now. And there was, and the worst was there was one of these city council members for that district said, stop trying to make a message on the backs of my people. People of her district. It's like, well, people who made the shantytown are your people. They are from your district. And the organizers wrote back saying that she has done nothing, not a single fucking thing, to help out the homeless and the poor in this district, in this neighborhood. But she's done plenty to make things better for her developer friends who want to build condos at $300,000 a pop. So for her to say something like that is just disgusting. But if you go to that website, they're trying to get a letter-writing campaign. I would recommend writing to your local media about this story. Say, you know, just find those links, find that information, send it to your local newspaper, and say, hey, I think this is an important story that you guys could be covering, and maybe we can help them keep where they're living. Anyhow, I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastards Radio Show 2006 wrap-up. Those are most of the major news stories. Well, I take that back. Those were some of the top news stories that we talked about here on this show, talked about on my website. Pulled it together today. There's obviously plenty more going on. I haven't even done really any media news. This is a show about media. I guess I'll have to come with that next week, talk about what happened in media news in this past year. And then I'll have more songs, because I obviously don't have time to play all my songs today. But so I'm trying to play the top songs of 2006, just my favorite songs that I found this year. And really, I can't go out without playing this one. This is going to be Gnarls Barkley. They had a lot of great songs on their album that came out this year, but this one was their first single. And even though I've heard it a lot, and sometimes I do prefer picking deeper tracks, as they call them, other tracks from the album, this is really a great song. So we're going to go with Crazy by Gnarls Barkley. And probably most of the rest of the show is going to be songs. And I'll see y'all hopefully the week after that. I'm realizing I might be called away to duty for my other job this time next week. We'll see. Anyhow, thanks for listening. Here's the music.
Communist in the family. talking shit. Yeah, you know. Yo, making moves back and forth uptown. $60 per soul is the cafe. Wintertime bubble goose, goose, clouds of smoke. Music glassing in the A-Rag, be blunted. Whip smelling like fish for 1/25. Throwing ketchup on my fries, hitting baseball splits. Back seat with my leg on stiff. Push the fucking seat up. Tartar sauce on my S-Doc. Jake Strax is lit. While I'm popping the clips, I'm ready for war. Got the call of Cuban guys, got the Montana pulled in front of the store. Made my usual gun check. Safety off, come on, Frank. The moment is here. Take your fucking hood off and tell the driver to stay put. Fuck the niggas on the block, they shook. Most of them won't look. They're frightened, they know crooks. They're fucked up, they own jokes. Look out for Jackson 5-0, cause they own foot. Straight ahead to the doorway. See that lady with the shopping cart. She keep a shoddy cop in the hallway. Damn, she look pretty, no go. She work for Kevin, she bout 77. She paid the dues when she smoked his brother-in-law at his boss's wedding. Flew to Venezuela quickly when the big fed stepped in. 3 o'clock, watch the kids, third floor, last door. You look paranoid, that's why I can't joke with you. Why you behind me, Larry? Shaky dog stuttering when you got the bigger cooker on you. You's a crazy motherfucker, small hoodie dude, hilarious, smooth. You want some curly bow Larry shit, straight Harry shit, Krispy Kreme, cocaine, dead bodies, jail time, you going carry it. Matter of fact, all the cash, I'ma carry it. Stash it in jelly and break it down at the Marriott. This is the spot, your son, you burn the cock. These fucking mighty cones on the couch, watching Sanford and Son, passing they rum, fried plantains and rice. Big round onions on the T-bone steak. My stomach drilling, yo, I want some. Hold on, somebody's coming, get behind me, knock at your door. Act like it's sticking me up, put the joints in my face. Push me in quickly when the bitch open up. Remember, you don't know me, blast him if he reach for his gun. Yo, who goes there? Tony. Tony, 1 second, homie, no matter. Rain, sleet, or snow, you know you supposed to phone me. Off came the ledge. Frank pushed me into the door. The door flew open. Dude had his mouth open, frozen. Stood still with his heat bulging. Told him, freeze, lay the fuck down and enjoy the moment. Frank smashed his gat. Slapped him, asked him, where's the cash? Coke in the crack. Get the smoke in you fast. His wife stood up speaking in Spanish. Big titty bitch holding the cannon. Ran in the kitchen, threw a shot. They kicking the 4/5. Broke the bowl in her wrist and she dropped the heat. Give him the call, but the bitch wouldn't listen. I'm on the floor like, holy shit. Watching my man Frank get busy. He's zoned out, finished off my man's whiz. They let the pit bull out. Big head Bruno with the little sharks. Keep charging, foaming out the mouth and scared. Frank screaming, blowing shots in the air. Missing the target off the vision, damn grazed my ear. Killed that bullshit pit, ran to the back room. But first, Frank put 2 holes in the door, man, sad soon. The cops in the vacuum, got to the bathroom, faced his bad wounds. The big one had the centerpiece stab wound. Frank shot the skinny dude, laid him out. The bigger dude by Frankie Boy, played him out to be continued.
come to the end of another Lying Media Bastard show, the final show of 2006. I still have plenty of great songs from 2006 that I'll have to continue on the next show. I got my fingers crossed I can make it in next Thursday to continue for you and talk about some of the other media news, and hopefully I can also incorporate some of the positive news that came out in 2006, because it's always depressing hearing about, the stuff I normally talk about. That last song was a cover of New Order by Flunk. True Faith, or that Ghostface Killah doing Shaky Dog, Combat Wounded Veteran doing One Arm Left, The Knife, Forest Families, This Machine Kills doing Gold Carpet, Carpet of Bombs, Easy Star All-Stars featuring Toots and the Man from the Maytals doing Let Down, and we start off with Gnarls Barkley. That's it, I am out of here. This will be up on the site shortly. Well, tonight, tomorrow, something. Thanks for listening. I'll see you all next year.